everyone. Sorry about the delay. This weird world of Zoom Sheeran means when my kids are crying, it's just in the next room instead of a text on my phone. I so greatly apologize. First of all, thank you so much again for joining. That was incredible with Professor Price, and I am, again, humbled to even follow after her. But it's actually very apropos that I am speaking about this topic following Professor Price. I'm so sorry I didn't share the source sheet. Hold on one second. Let me share the source sheet with you. So you can know a little bit about what we're talking about. Okay. This evening, we're going to be talking about Berachas HaTorah. And I will explain to you why it's funny that that topic is following Professor Price by the time we finish this year. Just keep in mind, I have a story to share. Feel free to unmute and remind me if I don't tell you. As women, we spend a lot of time hearing about things that we can't do or that we shouldn't do or that unfortunately we're not able to do. There's a lot of restrictions and limitations and things that we just feel like they're at least in my understanding, there are very beautiful, understandable answers and reasons for why we cannot or should not do something. But it doesn't eliminate the fact that often we're talking about things we can't do. So tonight we're going to talk about something that we can do. The Shulchan Aruch, our primary halachic text, states very simply in Siman Mem Zayin, Se'if Yodalit, Nashim Mivarchu Berachat HaTorah. Women make the brachot of Berachat HaTorah. Seems simple, straightforward, but why do we need that? There are plenty of things that the Shulchan Aruch could write down. We wake up in the morning. It talks about waking up in the morning, but because it's instructing us how to wake up. It could say you should eat breakfast. It doesn't just tell us to eat breakfast. We talk about the halachot of kosher and what you should and should not eat. But the Shulchan Aruch is not just there as a step-by-step guide how to lead our day. So while this statement seems straightforward of Nashim Mivarchu Berachat HaTorah, women say Berachat HaTorah, it's clear but seemingly unnecessary. So while we know we say Berachat HaTorah, we all say it every morning, why does the Shulchan Aruch have to tell us that? And that's going to be our jumping off question. Why does Shulchan Aruch specifically have to tell us that women say Berachat HaTorah? So to understand this, we are going to understand a little bit about the basis of Berachat HaTorah. There is a conversation in the Rishonim about whether Berachat HaTorah is something that is mideoraita, it's a mitzvah mideoraita from the Torah, or it's a mitzvah midirabanan, a rabbinic law. Those who say that it is a biblical law, a mitzvah midirabanan, base their opinion on a pasuk in Devarim, as we see in the Gemara and Brachot, it says, Amar Rav Yehuda says, Minayim leberchat haTorah lefaneha min haTorah, how do we know that the recitation of berchat haTorah before learning Torah is a mitzvah midoraita, and he quotes the pasuk Shene'emar, Kishim Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Lelokinu. This is a pasuk from Devarim in Parak Lamed Bet, which is quoted right below. And the Gemara in Masechet Yoma explains why that is. How do we learn Berachat HaTorah from this pasuk in Devarim? And the Gemara Masechet Yoma says, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Kishim Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Lelokinu. Amar lahem Moshe liYisrael. Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael, "B'sha'a she'ani maskir shemosh al Hakadosh Baruch Hu." At the time when I am mentioning the name of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the name of Hashem, atem havu gudel. You should glorify His name. You should give respect to it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, at the time when I mention God's name, when is that? When I am teaching you Torah. So Moshe says to Bnei Yisrael, when I am teaching you Torah, Havu Godel, you should glorify it. You should make it great. So that is the opinion of some Rishonim, that the mitzvah of Berachat HaTorah is a mitzvah midoraita. It's a mitzvah that we learn out of this pasuk in Devarim. However, on the other hand, the Rishonim that state that this mitzvah of reciting Birchat HaTorah is one that is midirabanan. And how do they explain it? They say, just like when we light the Shabbos candles, we say Lahad L'gner Shel Shabbos, we make a bracha on it. So too, when we learn Torah, we say the Birchat HaTorah. It's a very long, beautiful bracha, but in the end of the day, Baruch Ata Hashem Notin HaTorah. Blessed are you Hashem who gave us Torah. La'asok b'divrei Torah. They gave us the ability to toil in Torah. And we're making this bracha much, much like Lahad L'kner Shel Shabbos. And then we were doing the mitzvah. So we make the bracha on learning Torah. And that's why immediately following this bracha, we learn inside the pasuk of Bercha Kohanim. Easy, simple, another great way to start our day. We make the bracha on learning Torah, and we learn some Torah. So those are the two opinions. Either Birchat HaTorah is midoraita from this pasuk of Havgodel Elokeinu, or it's midirabanan, that it's a regular old Birchat HaMitzvah. So that leads us to our question. What mitzvah is the mitzvah that we are partaking in after we say the Birchat HaTorah? It's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now here's where it gets a little funny that I'm following Professor Price. Way back in Stern College for Women, when I was a junior, it was time for me to decide what I was going to write my honors thesis on. And I chose who I wanted my honors mentor to be. And I, of course, chose Professor Price because I'd already taken all her classes. I needed to find some other way to learn from her. So I chose Professor Price as my honors mentor. And I went in and I sat down and I said, I would like to give my write my thesis on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And she said, oh, Talmud Torah for women? I said, nah, sick of that. Regular old Talmud Torah. I wanted to investigate what was this mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So then I wrote a 29-page thesis on Talmud Torah. So this is one of my favorite topics. What is this mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And we're going to very quickly see that there is a problem with the Shulchan Aruch that we began with. So the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin is discussing who is obligated in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. L'lamdo Torah, to teach Torah, minalan dichtiv, ulimanatam otam epinichem. It starts by saying we have an obligation to teach Torah. How do we know this? From the pasuk of v'limadatem otam et b'nichem, you should teach your children. V'heicha d'lo igamre avuha, mechai ve'ihu v'megmar nafshe. How do we know that someone who is not a father is still obligated to learn on his own? V'megmar nafshe, to learn for his own self. D'chtiv v'limadatem, because the pasuk starts with the word v'limadatem, that you should learn. How do we know who is not obligated? Dichtiv v'limadatem v'lamadatem. Kol shemitzvah lilmud, mitzuva l'lamid. Anyone who is obligated to learn is obligated to teach. V'kol she'eino mitzvah lilmud, and whomever does not have the obligation to learn, eino mitzuva l'lamid, does not have the obligation to teach. So we're saying there is a specific person who is obligated to learn and to teach, and they are one and the same. If you are obligated to learn, you are obligated to teach. If you are not obligated to learn, you are not obligated to teach. Now it brings up our question of women. How do we know that women are not obligated to learn? The Gemara is starting from this idea that it believes that women are not obligated to learn Torah. Dichtiv v'limadatem v'lamadatem. Kol she'achirim mitzavin l'lamdo. Whoever there is an obligation to teach to them, mitzuva l'lamed et atzmo, is obligated to teach himself. So if we just take a quick step back to the original pasuk, v'limadatem otam et b'neichem, you are obligated to teach your sons. The pasuk says, whomever we are not obligated to teach to does not have to teach themselves. V'kol she'ein achirim mitzuvim l'lamdo, and whomever does not have the obligation to be taught by others, ein mitzavel l'lamed et atzmo, does not have to teach himself. U'minayin she'ein achirim mitzuvim l'lamdo, How do we know that others are not obligated to teach to a woman? De amar kra vilimadatem osama b'neichem vilo b'noteichem. Sorry, something just popped up on my screen. Though it says in the pasuk, vilimadatem osam et b'neichem, you must teach your sons, vilo et b'noteichem, not your daughters. So what we have concluded from here is that anyone who is obligated to teach is obligated to learn on their own. And anyone who is obligated to be taught to is obligated to teach themselves. And the pasuk says, vilimadatem osam es b'neichem, vilo es b'noseichem, that you should teach your sons and not your daughters. Since we do not have to teach to our daughters are not obligated to teach to themselves. And because they are not obligated to be taught to, they are not obligated to learn on their own. So we conclude from this Gemara that women do not have an obligation in the technical mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Rambam summarizes and says, Nashim v'avadim v'ketanim p'turim mitalmud Torah. Women and slaves and young children are pater, are not obligated in Talmud Torah. Aval katan aviv chayav lamdo Torah. However, a young person, his father is obligated to teach Torah to him. Shene amar v'limadatem osam es b'nichem. V'in ha'isha chayevet l'lamid et b'nash shekol ha'chayav l'omor chayav l'lamid. A woman is not obligated to teach to her son, and therefore she is not obligated to learn on her own. So again, 29-page thesis, we could go on forever about what is this technical obligation in Talmud Torah? Why are women exempt? There is so much more here. But what this question brings up, what this Gemara brings up for us, is a question on Berachas HaTorah. According to the opinion that Berachas HaTorah was mideoraita, we're okay with women reciting Berachas HaTorah. But according to the Rishonim that claim that Berachas HaTorah is midirabanan, and we are only obligated in Berachas HaTorah because we are doing a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that we are making a bracha on the mitzvah we are about to perform, it makes sense that men could say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav vitzivanu, that you commanded us. However, it does not make sense that a woman who is not obligated in Talmud Torah could say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav vitzivanu, that you commanded us. How can a woman recite Berachas HaTorah? The Shulchan Aruch seemed to state it so plainly. Nashim mevarchot Berachas HaTorah. Women make Berachas HaTorah, but it seems so unclear. Why can women recite the Berachas HaTorah? And that is the question we are going to delve into today. The first approach is going to be that of the Vilna Gaon. The approach of the Vilna Gaon is, what do you mean? It's not a problem. We make brachot as women all the time on mitzvot that we are not obligated in, such as tonight at dinner, I went to sit in the sukkah. I am not obligated as a woman in mitzvot ase shehazman grama, in time-bound positive commandments. But yet, when I went down to the sukkah, a mitzvah I'm not obligated in, I sat down to eat my meal. I said, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvot avitzivanu leishiv basukkah. And when I get to Sfiras HaOmer, I am going to, again, this is another mitzvah ase shehazman grama, a time-bound positive commandment. I am going to say, Asher kidishanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al sfirat ha'omer. I always make brachot on mitzvah that I'm not obligated in. And the Vilna Gaon says, yes, that is why women recite the brachot over Berachas HaTorah. That even though they're not obligated, if they partake in the mitzvah, they are able to make Berachas HaTorah. They are able to make a bracha on a mitzvah even though they are not obligated in it. And if you look on the source sheets, the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, which is his more in-depth halachic work, the Mishnah Berurah was his more surface-level work, and the Be'er Halacha explains the reasoning behind what he writes. And he explained there, V'hagra b'Be'er holik alzeh ha-ta'am, al yidei she'ela ha-ta'am de'mibarchot hu de'af de'ptiri mitorah mikol makom, Yachola levarich v'lomar v'tzivanu delo griya mikol mitzvahs aseh shazman grama. The Vilna Gaon says it's like all other mitzvahs aseh shazman grama. If a woman partakes in the mitzvah, they are able to make a bracha on it. However, as I believe I saw her on the screen before, I have my token Sephardi, actually I have a lot of Sephardi friends because I went to high school with many Sephardim. But one of my Sephardi friends, when she got married, got to experience many new brachot for the first time. And it was not just because she was now a married woman and was obligated in so many new mitzvot, but rather because she had gone from Sephardi halacha to she married someone who was Ashkenaz, and she was therefore able, for the first time in her life, to make the bracha by herself on Sfirat HaOmer, to make a bracha on sitting in the sukkah. We just made a very broad statement that the Vilna Gaon said that women are allowed to make a bracha on mitzvah they are not obligated in. That is not a statement to be made lightly, because there are many poskim that do not agree with that. The Beis Yosef summarizes this debate. He explains, V'katav HaRambam yitafu below bracha. King Katav Parakaniskar. Vimasha Katav, Vihu Holech Lishitato Shapiri Shanashim Eno Yehola Levarech, Bizavar Shehim Turo. The Beis Yosef quotes and first says the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam says that women are not allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah in which they are not obligated. Gamza Parakaniskar, Vikatvu Sham Hagaot Shekindat Rashi. So he says the opinion of the Rambam is that women may not make a bracha on a mitzvah they are not obligated in, because it would lead to a, it would lead to making a bracha levatala, it's saying Hashem's name in vain. However, the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Tam and the Baalei HaTosfot, our Ashkenaz halachasists, and Rabbeinu Tam brings this idea of, sorry, just for the sake of time, we are going to do it outside. He says, we have a concept of gadol mitzuva ve'osa, me'eno mitzuva ve'osa. Greater is the reward for someone who is obligated in a mitzvah than someone who is not obligated. And he says, based on this, we can understand that even if you are not obligated in something, there is some schar for it. So Rabbeinu Tam says, a woman is allowed to make a bracha on something in which they are not obligated, as we had simply stated before. So we could say, okay, great, the Shulchan Aruch is just following Rabbeinu Tam. But I'm sorry, that answer also does not work, because Shulchan Aruch is the Sephardi posek. The Shulchan Aruch would follow the path of the Rambam, the Beis Yosef. That would be most likely what the Shulchan Aruch would follow. So we're back with our same question. If you're going to agree with the Vilna Gaon that women can just make the bracha because they want to, because they're allowed, then we're fine. But we still have this problem of why can women make Berachat HaTorah, and why does Shulchan Aruch tell us that? Why does this Sephardi posek, who does not believe that women can make Berachat HaMitzvah in which they are not obligated, tell us that women make Berachat HaTorah? The next suggestion is by the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, women are not obligated in the entire mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but they are obligated to know the halachot that apply to them. That women are obligated to learn enough to know the halachot of everything they need to do. Which when you go into it, halavai, we should even learn all of the halachot of all of the mitzvot that we need to do. So the Magen Avraham says, they're making Birchat HaTorah, not on the general obligation of Talmud Torah like a man, but on their specific obligation in Talmud Torah. However, I wish that answer would work for everybody, but it doesn't. The Beis HaLevi asks a question on that and says, Magen Avraham, men have an obligation in Talmud Torah. It's not that women have an obligation in Talmud Torah, just in a more specific level. Rather, men have an obligation in Talmud Torah, and women have an obligation to carry out the mitzvot they need to know. Their Talmud Torah is a machshirei mitzvah, something that allows them to do a mitzvah. It is not a mitzvah in and of itself. So the Beis HaLevi says, Magen Avraham, that was a great suggestion, but we have to throw it away. we don't believe that women can make a Berachat HaMitzvah of Berachat HaTorah on a Machshirei Mitzvah, on something that just allows them to perform a mitzvah, that is not a mitzvah in and of itself. So now we're stumped, back to square one. Why do women make Berachat HaTorah? And along comes the Brisker Rav and gives a beautiful answer. And this answer is brought down in many places, but it is said beautifully by Rav Aryeh Pomeranchik, a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, in his Sefer Emek Bracha. V'le'inyan da'ati, sorry, it's a little bit blurry. Nir'eh b'da'at Rashi, shesavar de'berchat ha'torah eino al ha'mitzvah shal limad ha'torah. De'ha gam nashim chayavot b'berchat ha'torah. He says, I'm throwing out your entire premise. Berachat HaTorah is not a Berachat HaMitzvah. It's not a bracha like Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvah Sevetzivanu Lehad Likner Shal Shabbos, or Al Netilas Lulav, or Al Achilas Matzah. No. Kid'ita B'Shulchan Aruch V'Nashim Hari Inam Chayavot B'mitzvah Slima Torah, because we know that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that women are not obligated in Lima Torah, yet they make Berachat HaTorah. Even like the Magen Avraham says, even though they are obligated to learn halacha that apply to themselves, still doesn't work. Mikol makom, lo v'torah mitzvah talmud Torah, ella mishum yedia lida malakayim, ella ikar chiyuva debe talmud Torah hi mishum haTorah gufa, de Torah tzricha bracha. That Torah in and of itself necessitates the making of a bracha. What does this mean? V'zehu de'alfinan, kishim Hashem ekra habugud al alokinu, de'torah tzricha bracha, v'kol mi shalomid o kurei b'torah tzricha levarich. Everyone who reads or anyone who learns Torah must make a bracha. V'chein shamati, me'arevi debrisk, b'shim aviv maran, Behad Isha Ola Leminyan Shiva Kruim, Afilu Besov Shiva, Shechotame Betora, Beberchat Lachareha, Bemutia, Beberchataha, Koha Kruim, the Akasha Hare Isha Betura Mitalma Torah, the Emoti Emotam. He says, one may not be moti, you cannot take away someone else's obligation in Berchat HaTorah. Ha Kol Sheino Mechuya Bedavar Eno Moti Achirim. He's going through the technical, how do we figure all of this out? Eina ha-mitzvah ela al ha-torah gufa, tzricha bracha. Ve'alkin gam nashim chayavo be'berchat ha-torah. The Brisker Rav, as brought down in the Emek Bracha, is saying there are many types of bracha. There is a berchat ha-mitzvah, as we discussed before, that is the technical bracha on what you are about to perform. However, there is another type of mitzvah, and there is another type of bracha, and that is a berchat hashabach. It's a bracha of praise. He says, we make many brachot of praise. When you see lightning, and you make a bracha on lightning. When you see a rainbow, and you say, Zohar abris, v'ne'am anbriso, v'kayim v'ma'amaro. You are not making a bracha on something that you are about to do. Rather, you are making a bracha on something that has blown you away, on something that is so awe-inspiring, you must bless Hashem and thank Him right then and there for what you just saw or what you just experienced. When you come to a place where a nace, where a miracle happened to you, and you say, Baruch Atah Hashem she'asa li nace b'makum hazeh, that did a miracle for me in this place. You're not making a bracha on a mitzvah to thank Hashem for doing a miracle for you. Rather, you are making a bracha on something that has awed you, that Hashem gave to you, that you are so amazed, that you so appreciate, you just need to thank Hashem for it. And the Brisker Rav says, we until this point assumed that Berachat HaTorah was a Berachat HaMitzvah, that it was a technical bracha on a mitzvah we are about to perform. But he says, no. Berachat HaTorah is a Berachat HaShevach. When we start our day and we are about to delve into Torah, and Torah in all of its forms, the bracha is la'asok b'divrei Torah, to immerse ourselves in Torah. It's not lilmod Torah. we're appreciating the incredible gift that Hashem has placed before us, that Hashem gave us this beautiful Torah that we are able to immerse ourselves in. We can throw ourselves into Torah. It guides our life. It enriches our lives. And we are thanking Hashem at the beginning of each and every day. And we are saying, thank you, Hashem, for giving us this Torah. Not blessed are you, Hashem, who gave me the obligation to learn Torah. And therefore, it is no problem that women should make Birchat HaTorah. Because it's not about the technical obligation in Talmud Torah. It's not about how much Torah did you learn, what type of Torah did you learn, is it a machshirei mitzvah, is it gadol mitzvah ve'oseh? There's none of these technicalities. Rather, it's clear and simple, like the Shulchan Aruch said, Nashim mivarchot Birchat HaTorah. Women, too, are included in this incredible experience of Torah. Women see Torah everywhere in their lives. They have the amazing ability to live Torah, to guide their lives according to Torah, and therefore it is no different from a man. And a woman can wake up in the morning and say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvot Tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me this opportunity today to immerse myself in Torah. That's where we got the title of this year. That the title of this year is another quote from Birchat HaTorah of Lomdei Torah Techa Lishma. That as women, I may suggest, we have an even greater obligation and an even greater opportunity to make these brachot. That we are the Lomdei Torah Techa Lishma. We are not bound by a technical obligation of how much Torah do we have to learn? What type of Torah do we have to learn? Did I fulfill my obligation? Did I not fulfill my obligation? We as women are the ideal. We are the Lomdei Torah Techa Lishma. We are learning Torah for the sake of Torah. We are immersing ourselves in Torah. We are seeing the beauty of Torah. And therefore, obviously, we would make the brachot of Birchat HaTorah. Now, to touch on just one final point in Birchat HaTorah. When we say in the second paragraph, V'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei Torah scha b'finu. We say to Hashem, please, Hashem, make Torah sweet in our mouths. The Sefer Olas Tamid, which is one of the early explanatory texts of the Siddur, states that this is a plea for Hashem to make Torah dear to us, to make it important to us, to make us realize how amazing and incredible Torah is in our lives. We say, V'ha'arevna, Hashem, don't just make it that we can fulfill Torah. Don't just make it that we can learn Torah. Please, Hashem, V'ha'arevna, make it so sweet, make us realize the true inner beauty of Torah, and let us internalize that and grow in Torah because of how sweet we find it. We want nothing more than to take in more Torah. Let us realize that. And we daven to Hashem every day, V'ha'arevna, make it sweet. As women, it is so possible to not be able to see the beauty of being the Lomdei Torah Techa Lishma. It's so possible as women to focus on the things that we can't do, the things in our lives that are limiting and restricting. We would love to learn Torah, but so many things come in the way. And because we don't have the technical obligation, sometimes it just doesn't come as easy. But we realize and we say, V'ha'arevna Hashem. Hashem, help us to look past these things. Look past the negativity of what we can't do, the things that are not open every day, the things that are not necessarily accessible to us. And I think everyone in the world is feeling this right now, that so many parts of Torah and our regular Torah lives do not seem open to us. How much more important is Birchat HaTorah? How much more important is it to praise Hashem every day and say, Hashem, you gave us an incredible gift in whatever shape it may be taking right now, whether it's at this time in history, whether it's at this point in my life. Thank you, Hashem, and V'ha'arevna. Hashem, please remind me throughout my day and throughout my life how sweet this Torah is. Just to conclude with a story, Rav Shimon Schwab, he famously said that we know that there was man, there was this holy spiritual food that fell in the desert. And it is said that man would taste like whatever you wanted it to taste like. But people would always ask, I don't know, what if it was just a regular Tuesday afternoon lunch? I wasn't dreaming of anything I wanted to eat. I was just eating. I wasn't focused. I didn't think about it. What would the man taste like then? And Rav Shimon Schwab said it would taste like nothing. Nothing. No taste. It would be air. It would be like swallowing air. Why is this? Because man is entirely spiritual. With spirituality, there is nothing inherent to it. If you do not put in your effort, if you do not think about it, if you think about it, it can be so beautiful. You can grow in your spirituality. You can appreciate your spirituality. But if you don't think about it, you don't pause to take that moment to realize what you are engaging in, what you are finding spiritual, that act that you are about to engage in, if you do not pause, it will taste like nothing. The message of Rav Shimon Schwab is, there is so much beauty in Torah, and not just on a technical level, on the level of being the Lomdei Torah Secha Lishma, of being those that learn Torah for its own merit. When we start our day, Berachat HaTorah, specifically as women, is our opportunity to pause and say, Hashem, you gave us an incredible gift, to meditate on that spirituality, to think about, what do we want our Torah to taste like? How are we going to engage in Torah? What are we going to take from Torah? How are we going to grow in Torah? And with that meditation, our Torah can have any taste in the world. Our spirituality can take any shape and any form. But without that meditation, it will have no taste. It will be bland and tasteless. My bracha is that this Simchas HaTorah, this holiday of celebrating the Simcha of Torah, that may look very different. It may not have the singing and dancing. It may not have all the usual festivities, but it has the Torah. May we take that opportunity this year on Simchas Torah and every day when we recite Berachas HaTorah to remember, Nashim Mivarchot Berachas HaTorah. Women have an incredible opportunity to appreciate and praise Hashem and the Torah that He gave us every single day. May we be zocha to take advantage of this opportunity to bless Hashem for the Torah He gave us, and v'harevna Hashem Elokeinu es divrei Torah scha b'finu. May Hashem then make Torah sweet in our mouths. Have a Chag Sameach. Thank you so much for joining this evening.